the first time we went up there, I said to him, I cannot believe how many independent artists there are and they don't get airplay. And he said, well, why don't you do a program? And that was the catalyst for doing independent country Australian artists. And I've done that for the 30 years.
And you were rewarded or awarded for that as well.
I was. That was in 2009. I was awarded that, and I'm in the Australian Country Music Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And that knocked the skids off me too.
You didn't know about that?
I didn't know. And, of course, when we took a break, I rang Joan up, and she said, what are you ringing at this time of day for? I said, you know. She said, I don't know anything. I said, you know, and I thought they'd been in touch with her. Yeah. She didn't know.
I'm going to ask you a question based on some information you provided me. Obviously, when you joined, it was a fairly threadbare operation.
Yes.
You say that a gentleman called Bob McIntyre, who I think was involved with the technical
He was the guru.
He was the guru. Used to pop down to cash converters when you needed a CD player. So things must have been pretty, you know, pretty simple and straightforward then.
Bob was one of those guys. He could get a bit rough at times. You know, you've had to watch and put your toe in the water to see how it was every time you come up. But if anything went wrong, he'd go to cash converters and he'd buy a CD player. He'd take it home and he'd check it over, make any alterations, like if there's any repairs needed, and he did that. If it hadn't have been for Bob McIntyre when we had the fire here, we would never have been on air as quick, because within 12 hours of the fire, we were on air broadcasting from one studio, one PowerPoint, and that kept us on air for nearly 6 months.
Dedication is the first word that comes to mind, because that obviously people were so committed, so dedicated to the task that possibly we don't have that dedication and commitment today. I don't know, but it was certainly evident then.
Well, Bob was an incredible guy. He'd come in and he'd have a big case of records. And you'd say to him, what are you playing today, Bob? Oh, I don't know, he said. What's the date? Oh, okay. What's the third month? The 12th. I'll play track 3 off the third record. And you go, 1, 2, 3. That's how he put his program. Mm. And it always went together very neatly. He was an incredible guy. Nothing was a trouble to him. And if anybody, like I had my own studio, I had trouble, Bob came along and he had a look at it, and there was something that I could improve on. So he did it. He'd never take any money. And he was just a terrific guy. And it didn't matter if you said to Bob, oh, look, on the panel there's such and such not working. He'd say, right, okay, I'll be in there. And as soon as you go off air, he'd be in fixing it. And he was here every day, Saturday, Sunday, it didn't matter. He was here. And then, of course, when they had to rewire this after the fire, he had the foresight to leave a whole heap of wire in the tunnel, so they just had to pull the wire out, and they had it all was rewired in no time.
Different days. Now, you mentioned being part of the program committee, because when I arrived, you were still on it.
That's right.
And so you were on for donkey's years.
That's right.
Yeah,
I was there. I was there. I suppose I would have done about 20-odd years on it. And the program committee in those days was Daryl Burr, Betty Lavender. There was Bob Toll, John Millard, myself, and we used to meet and just discuss things and talk about it. And then if there was anything that needed attention, Daryl would go and do it. He'd report back to the Committee of Management. And everything just runs so smoothly.
You were also on the Committee of Management, President and Vice President, yes, at some point. So what sort of contribution do you feel that in those roles that you have been able to make to this organisation?
Probably a discussion I had with Wairina about getting, because we had, on the old studios, we had big bars and we weren't allowed to take them off because it was security. And I negotiated with them and they said, well, you know, if you want to take them off, what's your reason? And I said, well, if there's a fire in the studio, to get out of the studio, we'd have to run back through the fire. And they said, oh, we never thought about that. Oh, if you want to take them down, you can take them down.
I'd like to get on to something else that you were instrumental. I don't know whether you set it up, but indeed you were at the helm. Something that we see as the backbone of our operation, one of them, community service announcements, CSA.
So I started off mainly with the people that I knew, which was the theatre people. And then one by one, different organisations used to get in touch with us, and we used to write up their CSAs. And there was times when we'd have as many as 80 in the file, but there was a lot of work went into it because, as they're finding out even today, people send in for a CSA and it's only got the date, where and when. And that's all you get. And then you've got to make a 30-second or minute CSA out of it. So there was a lot of head work went into it, and you had to key and try and make it so as that it was also different. And I think I've still got the original CSA on my computer.
So, and you were involved managing them, CSAs, for 20 years.
Yeah. There's a lot of hours went into it, I tell you.
I bet. And, of course, this got you out visiting community organisations.
That's right.
Yep.
People used to ring up and say, you know, could you come and talk to us? And I'd go and we'd talk about the station and that sort of thing. To get it into a nutshell, Roger, the time that I spent here were probably the happiest years of my life. And they still are, even though I don't come up to the studio because I pre-record my programs at home. It was just one of those places where you love to come. I don't know. It was just a wonderful place, and it still is.
Do you think that the station was more community-minded, more involved with the community then than it now is?
It's a pretty hard question, really, because times are so changed. Things that we were able to do in the early days, you wouldn't be able to do it now, simply because people's choices. Like, when we've got grandchildren, and you can ask any of them, and they're in their 30s, some of these children, and you say to them, what station do you listen to? Oh, I don't listen to the radio. That's old hat. And then my son, who's, 55, he came over the other day and I said, oh, did you listen to the news the other day about her? Oh, Dad, he said, I don't listen to the news. I can just go on the internet. And he gets it from there. So it's a very difficult area that we're in at the present time. And the ones that are most likely to be listening are the older generation.
And, of course, they're going to get older and older.
Yes.
And we're needing really to bring in behind them.
That's right.
Younger listeners who are going to see that we have something to offer them. And the question is, do we?
Well, you should. I think you've got to go that way, because the music today that the kids are listening to is like the music that we listened to many years ago. And we're hooked into that music. They're hooked into their present-day music. And in 20 or 30 years' time, they'll be the classics and there'll be a different type of music. So the world is changing. The whole atmosphere is changing. The kids are sort of doing different things and they're interested in different things. And I think you've got to keep pace with what's happening, but not neglect the ones that have really been before.
Mm. We're sort of between a devil and a dark blue sea, really, aren't we, in terms of trying to satisfy two distinctly different audience demographics.
Right. We're achieving it, because I listen to some of the programs, and I tell you what, there's a lot of talent still coming on. And in the country field, which I'm very interested in, it's gone away from the hillbilly music, which was, you know, old Shep and a horse that died and all the rest of it. Now it's like a pop rock, a country rock music. And the young ones, they very seldom sing anything that they haven't written. But the whole world is changing, and you're not going to stop it.
Brian, finally, let me ask you, what do you cherish most about your time, which continues, but the time you used to spend here day after day, what do you cherish most about all of that time?
The friendships and the camaraderie of all the people, because without that, it's not worth worrying about. But if you get satisfaction from the people that you work with, and you can work with them, you don't work against them. And I always say, you ask, you don't tell.